Hello again, Peabody the Traveler here.
Here it is, Mr. Peabody.
Well, actually, it's a time machine. I call it the Wayback. We just set it, turn it on, open the door, and there we are. Or were, really.
The lab's gone.
There has to be something we can do. We can't just leave them stranded, lost in time.
We're not giving up yet. Not until I've rewired every circuit and checked out every system.
It's 4 in the morning,
and schoolgirl Bethany McQuarrie is starting her homework. Her dad, Clay, does the family's washing before going to the 24-hour supermarket. Meanwhile, Bethany's mom and brother, Janelle and Casey,
sleep on.
But Bethany is no SWAT, and Clay is no housework obsessive. They just wake up early every single day, whether they like it or not. It's as if they have
permanent jet lag.
Bethany and Clay have to get things done early in the morning because they also fall asleep early in the evening. The difference in timekeeping has divided the family.
There have been times when I've wished we could function the same as other families,
says Janelle.
It does make it hard when you're wanting to be together.
Only recently did Clay discover that there was a biological explanation for his and Bethany's unusual behavior, known as ASPS, or Advanced Sleep Phase Syndrome, a disorder of the body clock that shifts their day forward. The body clock determines our most fundamental behaviors when we wake up, go to sleep, and eat. But it also determines our physical strength and performance over a day. However basic the clock's functions seem to us today, its existence was only proven in 1962 by a French caver. Michel Siffer had been planning to study the movement of a glacier through an underground cave when he realized the enormous potential of his experiment in the field of biology. I had the idea of my life. I decided not to take a watch in the cave. I decided to live without time cues, he said. By isolating himself underground, away from daylight, clocks, or routines, he hoped to discover whether the body had its own rhythm, and if so, what it was. I decided to live following my feelings of hunger and feelings of going to sleep. In the cave, it's always dark. Then your body follows its own sense, said Mr. Siffer. His plan was to call a surface team of assistants every time he woke, ate, or exercised, so every one of his biological functions could be monitored. Each time, he would give an estimate of the date and time, and the surface team would compare this with the real time. This he did for 2 months before emerging into the real world. Mentally, he had completely lost track of time, but the results showed his body had kept up a rhythm. While the length of Siffer's waking days varied widely, from 40 hours to just 6, a clear pattern emerged. The average length of his days was just over 24 hours. Evolution, it seems, had tailored his body clock to run closely to the Earth's day length. It's now known that the body clock is controlled by a tiny pea-sized organ in the brain called the suprachiasmic nucleus, or SCN. This tiny region commands a chain of chemical and nervous instructions that ripple through the body, controlling how each organ and tissue functions over the 24-hour day. It's this mechanism that has gone wrong in the case of Clay and Bethany McQuarrie. Their early rising is due to the inheritance of a single mutation that throws the whole body clock off kilter. While the body clock keeps the rest of us in sync with the world around us, that's not our only experience of time. We also have a completely separate sense of time passing. Mostly, we're pretty good at estimating durations of time. How long you've been online, for example. But people also speak of time flying when they're enjoying themselves.
Or slowing right down
in perilous situations, such as a car crash. But is there any real distortion of perceived time here? Or are people reinventing their experiences after the event? Psychologist Dr. David Eagleman of the University of Texas recently set out to nail this assumption, and a BBC film crew was there to record it. He asked volunteer Jesse Callis to perform a terrifying backwards freefall of 33 meters. If the anecdotes are correct, Jesse's perception of time would be slowed by the terrifying experience.
But how could one monitor such a thing?
Mr. Eagleman came up with a cunning device, the perceptual chronometer, a wristwatch-like device which flicked blindingly fast between two LED screens. Normally, the flicker would be so fast Jesse could only see a blur, but if time slowed down for him, he might be able to discern the two different screens and read a random number on one of them.
There's no way to fake this test,
says Dr. Eagleman.
Because if time is not running more slowly, they can't see the sequence.
All Jesse had to do was jump and read. As he ascended the 33-foot metal cage, no one seemed to believe this curious experiment might work. When Jesse landed, he noted that he had seen 98. Dr. Eagleman checked. In fact, the number was 96, not quite spot on, but the two numbers look very similar on a digital screen.
I would have loved it if he had seen the numbers exactly,
says Dr. Eagleman.
But this at least suggests to me that he's able to take in information faster than he was before.
Further jumps got similar results, all suggesting that time did seem to slow down for Jesse during the jump. So while time on the clock may be constant, time in one's brain is elastic and personal. Something to remember in a boring meeting when time seems to grind to a halt. Time is not simply a fourth dimension in which we exist. It's something we, at least partly, create in our minds.
The autonomous Komi Republic, which is part of the Russian Federation, is situated in the far northwest of Europe and spreads up to the Arctic part of the Ural Mountains. It's crossed by 9 northern parallels. 10 fair-sized European states could be placed on its territory. Besides indigenous residents, that is, the Komi people, there are also Russians, Ukrainians, Nenets, Chuvashis, and Tartars. And now let's go back into history a little bit. A boy lying on skins behind our backs was turning the knobs of a small transistor radio. And the tent was suddenly filled with an announcer's voice speaking Komi. Then with music from Moscow, followed by English and French speech.
The recording was made at the Moscow Theater of Musical Miniatures.
Now, back to modern times.
Your attention, please. At the recommendation of the International Time Bureau, commencing at 23 hours, 59 minutes, 60 seconds UTC, an extra second will be inserted into the NBS time scale.
Christ, and it's called Help Thy Neighbor. Do not kill, do not, you know, steal, cheat, lie from everybody. That's why we have to have computers, because man, nobody is perfect, you know. It's not even funny.
You mean?
And about power, man, nobody is perfect, you know.
So what is your point?
Nobody is perfect, you know.
So what is your point, Glenn?
There's two things you don't talk about. One's politics, and the other one's religion. The reason you don't talk about them is because they combine in each other. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't you kid yourself. Thanks, Glenn, for the, just thanks for the good thoughts.
This concludes our transmission to Oceania. However, listeners in East Asia may continue listening on the following shortwave frequencies. 6110, 7230, 9565, 9760, 15160, and 15425 kilohertz.
Separate them. Damn if I know. here it comes.
Time. Since very early days, time has bedazzled and intrigued humans. More than 1,500 years ago, Indians identified time as the basis for a mundane reality. They equated the creation of time as the first step in the creation of the universe. This age-old belief received scientific confirmation in Einstein's theory of relativity. Einstein also added support to the concept that time and the mundane reality are both non-substantial. Time, Einstein showed, was relative, and therefore the mundane world with time as its basis also had to be ephemeral. Change in the flow of time triggers drastic changes in matter and its formations. The flow of time is subject to influence by such factors as gravity, and it does not flow at the same rate in different parts of the universe. Even here on Mother Earth, atomic clocks have been shown to tick at different rates on mountaintops and in supersonic jets. The mathematical concept of time has a better scientific basis and is preferred by purists. Nevertheless, for most people, time means a personal experience of time. Humans experience time both subjectively and objectively. The swing of the pendulum, the movement of the clock's hands, and the sunrise and the sunset are some of the perceptual indices of the passage of time. We also have an inner sense of time. Even in the absence of perceptual clues, we are aware of the flow of time. A number of bodily functions, of which one is barely aware and over which one has minimal volitional control, are time-based. Most, if not all, biological phenomena are cyclic. Breathing and heartbeat are good examples of this. While some biological functions have long cycles, others are much shorter. Many endocrine and autonomic functions have diurnal cycles. The electroencephalogram that provides information about levels of brain activity is also cyclic. The crests and troughs that characterize EEG readings form the objective basis for dividing the human experience into three broad categories: wakefulness, dream sleep, and dreamless sleep. In fact, the entire human life is contained within these three chapters. The ancient Sanskrit word aum is derived from three letters, one representing each of these three phases. Aum, which is closely related to the Latin omni, means everything. Both omni and aum have strong religious and spiritual connotations. Time perception is different during these three phases. It is strongest during wakefulness, somewhat weak during the dream phase, and almost absent during the dreamless phase. If time, a created element, is not substantial, the waking experience built around it should also be phantasmal. By the same token, dreamless sleep, where time is felt minimally, should be the most real of the three, with the dream phase falling in between. According to the 8th century Indian philosopher Samkara, in the dream state where there is no object, mind on its own creates everything, and it also creates everything seen when awake as well. There is little difference between the two states. Everything we see is a creation of the mind. During dreamless sleep, when there is no object at all, no pleasure or pain, consciousness shines in its own glory. Across a number of vegetal derivatives with marked effects on the quality of the conscious experience. The Aztecs used Mexican mushrooms, while others turned to peyote. Other South Americans found ayahuasca effective, while African tribes in the Congo found ibogaine useful. The Indian hemp is one of the earliest and probably the single most popular consciousness-altering drug. Since time is the axis for perceptual reality, transcendence of perceptual reality would seem to involve alteration in time perception. Thus, the effects of the purportedly consciousness-altering drugs on time perception should be of interest. Unfortunately, such research is not easy. Of the 150 or so such drugs known to Western science, very little pharmacological information is available on most. Many of these plants contain chemicals other than the substance responsible for the consciousness-altering effects, and these effects too have to be taken into account. Several of these plant extracts are too toxic to be administered to human volunteers. Identification, isolation, and purification of the active ingredient are by no means easy and have not been carried out in many cases. Animal studies are obviously easier. However, animals will have difficulty communicating altered consciousness to the experimenter. Animals do not seem to care for many drugs used for consciousness alteration in humans, such as peyote and psilocybin, which would suggest brain mechanisms unique to humans. Although there is not a great deal of scientific information in this area, the effects of some of these drugs are known. Peyote cactus, LSD, and marijuana all produce significant distortions of time. The available few studies vary substantially in sophistication. The effects of marijuana and its active ingredient, THC, on time perception have received more scientific attention. Marijuana was found to slow both the subjective and objective perception of time. Many studies demonstrated altered time sense and the underproduction of time estimations. In one study, 28 daily marijuana users displayed greater time underproduction than 32 normal controls, which indicated that the marijuana-induced time distortion may persist beyond the acute phase of intoxication. Dr. William H. Wilson attempted to track the neurological basis for the marijuana-induced alteration in time perception. Using positron emission tomography, he identified the cerebellum as the brain region responsible for mediating this effect. The relationship between altered cerebellar activity and impaired time sense is in keeping with several previous reports that linked the cerebellum to an internal timing system. Other investigators showed that the cerebellum was involved in the temporal sequencing of motor activity. In human subjects, cerebellar lesions were associated with impairment in rhythmic tapping, a time-dependent task. Studies on the effects of other consciousness-altering drugs on time perception should be conducted. Projects have begun on the effects of ketamine and mescaline. Change in time perception is accompanied by a number of other phenomena, including distorted sensory perception and an altered sense of self. Time transcendence often ushers in a unique sense of well-being, usually referred to as bliss. Ancient Indians called it ananda. Unlike the mundane pleasure that contrasts with pain, ananda is unimodal. It is totally ineffable. It has to be experienced.
It all went. Time passed us by. Just when I really don't know how the time went. I really have to go. Stop. Stop.
There was this guy who was a regular guy who lived a regular life. Got up 7:30 every morning. And naturally, he began to brag a little the next day. He told people, "I know what time it is." And they tested him. And he did know. The administration had changed at this particular time, and they wanted to save money. So they got rid of all their astronomers, all their telescopes, their weights and measures, and they put this man in Washington in a little room where he sits to this day, simply saying, "Beep, the time now is..."
"What is this thing called time? You know, what is that? The clock, you go to work by the clock, you... get your martini in the afternoon by the clock, and your coffee by the clock, and you have to get on the plane at a certain time and arrive at a certain..." And it goes on, on, on. And time is a dictator, as we know it. Where does it go? What does it do? Most of all, is it alive?
"For your time, who knows where the time goes? Who knows where the time goes?"
It's common knowledge acknowledge that our perception of the passage of time can be influenced by psychological factors. Time flies when we're busy, but really drags when we're waiting. These are generally short-term experiences, but what of long periods of time, such as years? Is there something other than transient psychological factors affecting our time perception? We usually think about the years of our lives in terms of decades, our teens, 20s, 30s, etc. This is an implicitly linear view, that all our years are equal, that clock time is our time, through which we move at a uniform pace. This simple picture, however, doesn't square with our perceptions as we age. By our middle years, at least, most of us have become aware that something is amiss, that a very slow but profound change has been sneaking up on us. The years that formerly crawled are now racing by. Where are the long, leisurely summers we knew as children? If it seemed forever to get through the fifth grade, what happened to last year? Why do we now seem so rushed by life? Where are all the things we wanted to accomplish but never seem to find the time for? There is another clue that our lives are not running in a linear, clock-like fashion. When we try to remember back to the earliest years of our childhood, they seem incredibly distant, like a far horizon that always recedes as we attempt to approach it. Why should we find it so much harder to remember the first few years of our life than to remember the later years, even after a longer time? And why do parents see their children growing up so much faster than they did? Since the linear view of time perception seems inadequate, it is reasonable to look for a non-linear alternative. The observations we make about the apparent shrinkage of our years as we age strongly suggest a logarithmic scale. Stretched out at the low end and compressed at the high end. The fundamental importance of the logarithm has suggested the term log time to succinctly refer to the cognitive hypothesis. Another term may be usefully coined here to denote this general field of study. Psychochronometry, the psychology of time estimation. Log time is a psychochronometric model, that is, an attempted mathematical simulation of subjective human temporal experiences. The logarithmic scale of time perception presented by this model may be only a rough approximation of actual human perception, but is probably a much closer one than the linear scale usually assumed. That our time perception should be logarithmic can be easily rationalized, although proving it is a different matter. The simple premise of log time, from which the logarithmic relationship can be derived, is that the human mind judges the length of a long period of time, such as a year, by comparing it with current age. For example, a year adds 10% to the life of a 10-year-old, but only 5% to that of a 20-year-old. For the 20-year-old, 2 years are required to add 10%. The log time hypothesis is that it is this percentage that we perceive, not the years themselves. To the 20-year-old, 2 years will seem to pass as quickly as 1 year will seem to the 10-year-old. Similarly, 3 years to a 30-year-old and 4 years to a 40-year-old, etc., will seem to pass equally fast. The older we become, the faster we seem to age, or conversely, the shorter the years seem to be. Mathematically, this relationship is said to be either logarithmic or exponential, depending on which variable is used as the reference. The length of the year seems to shrink logarithmically if we regard our subjective aging as uniform, while the speed of passage of these years seems to increase exponentially if we regard the years as being of equal length. Using other terminology, our sense of aging follows an arithmetic progression, while the corresponding calendar years follow a geometric progression. The log time hypothesis probably applies to all time intervals, not just years and seasons. Our days and hours should be similarly shrinking as we age, but short-term psychological factors tend to dominate, making the shrinkage less obvious. When we are young, the changing nature of our lives tends to obscure the shrinking years. The 20-year-old rarely thinks about how life was at age 10. Life at 20 is filled with different activities and concerns, and it is the future that dominates reverie. It is only after life becomes more settled and routine that we become more retrospective, and only then do we have an easier basis for comparing the years. However, we tend to adjust to our changing timescale, and our declining physical abilities tends to conceal the nature of the underlying change. Since we see ourselves as slowing down, we accept that life around us seems to go faster. A popular topic these days is the extension of lifespan through nutrition or medical interventions. An interesting speculation is what life would be like for really old immortals. Would the sun be streaking across the heavens and the days flashing like a strobe, as seen by the time traveler in H.G. Wells' The Time Machine? And would their old memories be edited to provide room for new memories? Perhaps a finite memory would provide a limit to the log time shrinkage. An important consequence of a knowledge of log time can be an appreciation of an important difference between the young and the old. While the elderly are commonly regarded as slow, by their own perceptions they are racing past the lives of the young. It is only the young who experience the endless summers. There are many questions evoked by the log time hypothesis. What is being compared? Is there a real biological clock counting the days? Or is the flow of data into the brain being used, analogous to an hourglass or a water clock? If the latter, does it use raw or processed data, or some weighted combination? Are new experiences and familiar ones weighted differently? This has to involve the nature of memory. Is there a sense of elapsed time independent of memory? An interval of time may be judged differently in retrospect than while being experienced. It can fly when you're short of time, but it may seem long afterward if you accomplished much or had a memorable experience. How does one's health, particularly relating to memory, affect time perception? This is a rich, albeit difficult, field for investigation.
Time heals everything. Tuesday, Thursday. Time heals everything. Next year, some year, time heals everything. Time heals everything. But love
Stop. You can't sign that document. What the? I know it sounds great, but you have to believe me. Boondoggy.
Boondoggy? Wow. You really are from the future.
What time is it?
Is time real? Does it flow in one direction only? Does it have a beginning or an end? What is eternity? None of these questions can be answered to scientists' satisfaction. Yet the mere asking of the question stretches our minds, and the continual search for answers provides useful insights along the way. Various researchers have proposed ways in which backward and forward time machines can be built that do not seem to violate any known laws of physics. Remember that the laws of physics tell us what is possible, not what is practical for humans at this point in time. The physics of time travel is still in its infancy. While all physicists today admit that time travel to the future is possible, many still believe that time travel to the past will never be easily attainable. Science fiction stories about space travel have already inspired humans to travel to the moon. Similarly, will time travel stories inspire us to create real time travel mechanisms? Will we ever find a way to overcome the Einstein speed limit and make all of space-time home? There is a strangeness to the cosmic symphony that may encompass time travel, higher dimensions, quantum superspace, and parallel universes. Worlds that resemble our own and perhaps even occupy the same space as our own in some ghostly manner. Stephen Hawking has even proposed using wormholes to connect our universe with an infinite number of parallel universes. Edward Witten is working hard on superstring theory, which has already created a sensation in the world of physics because it can explain the nature of both matter and space-time. By realizing the fundamental laws of physics appear simpler in higher dimensions, string theory can unite Einstein's theory of gravity with quantum theory in 10 dimensions. Our heirs, whatever or whoever they may be, will explore space and time to degrees we cannot currently fathom. They will create new melodies in the music of time. There are infinite harmonies to be explored.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting.
It's just a jump to the left.
In a red room in the Valley of the Spiders, the Invisible Man built a time machine and traveled into the future. Secret released, he instantly knew the outline of history. This knowledge drove him mad, and he went on all fours into the House of Pain, invisible and blind, like a god asleep or a crystal comet falling into the abyss. That is the law.
I'm always trying to figure out ways to make money. Money's a pretty big thing in our society. Why should only banks
and great big buildings have time capsules. Now, if you're interested, get in touch with me, okay?
Time flies when you're having fun, the saying goes. Now, there's scientific evidence to back that up. Dr. Anthony Chasten and Dr. Alan Kingstone of the University of Alberta's Department of Psychology gave subjects tests that required them to find specific items in various images. Before they began, they were told that once the test was over, they would be asked to estimate how long it took. In the simplest of the seven different levels of test, the items sought were a different color than everything else, or hardly hidden at all. In the more difficult levels, the items were placed among many similar-looking items,
or weren't even present.
The results. The harder the search task, the smaller estimate of how long the test had taken.
In other words,
the more engaged the mind on a task, the faster time seems to go by. The subjects were told ahead of time that they would be asked to estimate the test's length, because people are generally better at predicting how long a task will take than at estimating how long it took. How we perceive time is a big question, and one that received a thorough philosophical workout going back to at least St. Augustine, even before scientists started struggling with it.
The fundamental scientific question has boiled down to,
is there a clock mechanism in our brains that tracks the passage of time?
Or is our perception
that time is passing just a byproduct of memory and our senses?
There are probably different mechanisms at work for different lengths of time. For instance, we're very good at judging the relative lengths of very short flashes of light or bursts of sound. John Weirden, a psychologist at the University of Manchester in the UK,
who specializes in time perception studies,
thinks in that case the brain is really reacting to differences in the energy of the stimulus rather than the duration.
Hey, what time is it now? I mean, what's the time? It's... Yeah, the way it is.
Welcome to Time Gnosis and to Personal Timescopes. Starting today, you can put time on your side. Your Personal Timescope brings to you the ancient, sacred meta-science of numerology via the most modern online digital technology. Yes, mastering time is mastering life. Because when time is our best friend, the shackles on our progress and achievement fall asunder and hinder no more. Now, Time Gnosis is quite unlike other numerology sites. And the numerology system which we offer is the first to be wholly accurate and yet so simple to use. If you can use a clock... It's time for you to take hold of the controls of this mystery we call time. Let the Personal Timescope act as your personal time machine, journeying confidently towards power, wealth, and advantage. Click on Sign Up Now and immediately begin gaining mastery over your life.
How fast does your reality go? People vary significantly in their reports of how time is perceived while under the influence of different drugs. For example, marijuana has been said to speed time up, slow time down, stop time, make time jerky like a strobe light, or make time flow more smoothly. Whether or not a given drug affects the perception of time at all tends not to vary from user to user, though even that designation is not entirely set. For example, one study found no effect on time perception from alcohol or marijuana. Many uncontrolled, as yet unrecognized factors may be causing a difference, such as dosage, method of intoxication, previous drug experience, age, gender, mental state prior to intoxication, social setting, activities while intoxicated, mental and emotional state at time of recounting experience, etc.
Neural clock.
The basic premise of this theory is that we have a clock in our heads. It runs at a fairly regular speed, and it is comprised of certain circuits in the brain. Drugs can alter the ticking of this clock by antagonizing or agonizing the neurons involved, either speeding or slowing our internal clock. It has been implied that this clock is located in the ventral striatum, and that dopaminergic activity controls the rate at which the clock runs. According to this view, drugs that increase the release of dopamine in this area make the internal clock tick faster. Support for this view is found in studies of dopamine levels in the ventral striatum after the smoking of marijuana, since THC is anticholinergic in the striatum, resulting in higher concentrations of dopamine. Note that this study openly reports their subjects as having increased mean time estimation and decreased mean produced time while intoxicated with marijuana, both of which correspond to slower subjective time. It does not acknowledge or try to account for individuals who might experience time passing more quickly.
Temporal integration.
The temporal integration theory posits that drugs that alter our perception of time alter the circuits that control our ability to integrate our perception of ourselves, memories, current perceptions, etc. According to this theory, the clock in our heads may be changed in rate, but more significantly changed is our ability to coordinate the components of our perceived space-time reality continuum. Some proponents of this theory have found a correlation between temporal disintegration and decreased blood flow after injection of Delta-9 THC.
Time moves at the speed of thought.
The third theory states that we perceive time based not on a modular clock in our heads, but rather based on the rate of our conscious thoughts. According to this theory, a unit of internal time perception could be formed by dividing the number of conscious thoughts experienced by the amount of real time elapsed.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.